Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Warning. Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How has your week been?
Week's been pretty good. Nothing too exciting. How are you? It's good to see you too.
I'm doing pretty good. It's been, I feel like October has just been busy in general. We had that Down Syndrome Awareness Walk in Louisville, and then this weekend we went to the Ham Festival that I was talking to you about, which was cool. You know, got a lot of bad food and there's this, oh man, not a lot of ham. There was a food truck there from Chicago. And so I got pizza puffs. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Sounds like a pizza roll, which sounds like it's my jam, even though you don't like all the peas.
So, I love pizza rolls. I love it. But it is essentially like pepperoni, cheese, marinara sauce, like all the best stuff in like a puff pastry, and it's wrapped and folded and it's delicious. So I had like two of those cheese fries. I went hard in the paint. And then the next day we went to the pumpkin patch where I did it all again. So
lovely. Do you have a corn maze?
We do. Yeah. We haven't gone yet because we've got Millie's birthday party coming up and then Halloween, and October is just usually a slamming month for us. So having a lot of fun, but just trying to get through it for sure. So,
well, I need to circle back to Millie and get that, what she wants for her birthday. She was supposed to be thinking about it.
Oh, well, she's been asking for a bigger house. So,
well, good luck.
So are we going to move soon? I think we need more room. I'm like, well, you need to get a job.
Thing. Get a job, kid.
Yep. I was like, you don't even have credit yet. What are you talking about?
She's ready to take out a second mortgage.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. It's been busy. But again, just a good time with family. Some friends went with us to the Ham Festival to experience that for the first time. My daughter, I don't know if I told you this, but she won a pig calling contest.
What? Is that what the noise was?
Yeah. Did you see the video?
I think I saw the video. And I'm like, what is she hollering?
Yeah. So I did not know she knew anything about pig calling. Apparently she had been having some conversations with her grandmother about it, but
she
won the kids division.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah, won $10, just went up there and went, siree. So
yeah, I saw that video and I just was like, what is she doing? Makes total sense now.
Yeah. And it was context. It's funny because I didn't think about it until after, and I'm forgetting the guy's name was, I believe it was Christopher something, but I don't know if you remember, we did a case out of Kentucky a while ago, and it was the guy who had basically like killed his whole family, like duct taped his family up when they had come home from church and then made it look like there had been a home invasion. Mm-hmm. It's in that town.
Oh.
Yeah. So we were there and I was like, oh yeah, that happened here. So
I've been to that.
You have to go back and find that one. But yeah, so it was again, still a lot of fun though. And a lot of interesting people. It made for good people watching, which is good. So if you ever get a chance,
go to the Ham Festival.
Oh yeah. Katie's Kentucky. Check it out. It's worth it. If just for the people watching. And if you got a pretty good pig call, bring it on. Let's see. See if you can beat my kid
with Millie. Yeah. Well, that's all fun.
yeah, it was really a good time. But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to continue. I feel like a lot of the times, like, we dabble into the themes and stuff. But this month, I think we've been pretty consecutive, which is pretty cool. Been pretty consistent bringing the Halloween episode. So it's your episode this week. What do you got for us? What are we diving into?
Well, on Halloween night of 1973, Lisa French set out at about 6 p.m. to go trick-or-treating. She was dressed as a hobo, wearing a black felt hat, a green parka, and blue jeans. She sounds like the cutest little hobo I've ever seen.
I know. When I was going through your notes, I was like, she sounds adorable, and I don't think I'm going to like where this case is going, but I will. Right? I will let you continue.
Well, Lisa was planning to meet her friend Ann Parker on her way, but she was grounded. Lisa planned to attend the Halloween party at Pumpkin Place on East Bank Street in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. She stopped at one of her classmates' houses, then a teacher's, finally arriving at the home of her neighbor, 25-year-old Gerald Turner. Turner was no stranger to Lisa French, and she was comfortable with him. Lisa rang the doorbell, and when answered, she said, "Trick or treat," not knowing this would be her last house. Lisa was 9 years old, born on June 2, 1964, in the town of Oshkosh. Her parents, Alan and Marianne, lived in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Her parents had separated, and she lived mostly with her mother and stepfather. Lisa was in the fourth grade at Shedwig Elementary School, and she was a sweet child. When another girl in class mentioned not being able to afford nice clothes, Lisa came home asking her mother if she could donate some of hers. She was an active participant in the Girl Scouts.
Okay, I'm so sorry for having to interrupt here, but just going through this, all I can think about is what a sweet kid that Lisa must have been. You know, like, I think at 9 years old, it takes a very special kind of child to be that aware of the needs of others and to have that kind of kindness where it's, you know, hey, this person in my class, like, they need something and I have it. Let me help them. You know, like, I don't know. It just seems like she was raised kind of understanding what was important. And I don't know, you know, I maybe I connect with it because I try to raise my kid in that same way of, like, being aware of others and things of that nature. But it's just, you know, like I said, I don't know if I'm super pumped about where this story is going, but, like, my heart is melting over this little girl. So,
yeah, this all sounds like, you know, how sweet and kind your daughter is. You know, she sounds like someone who says, "Dad, I want to donate my stuff," or, "I want to do this. I want to help out this person." Like, I feel like we've had this conversation before with, like, just how sweet and considerate Millie is. But I don't think you're going to like this episode at all.
Well, you know, and thank you for that stuff. I appreciate that. But, you know,
surprise.
It really is that, like, you know, we live in Nashville and unfortunately there's, like, a large unhoused population. And so, you know, we'll be going somewhere and you'll see people on street corners with signs and you can see, like, how it breaks her heart a little bit where she'd be like, did their family, like, abandon them? And, like, can we keep food in the car to give? I was like, well, you know, you can't keep food because it goes bad, but we've talked about, like, doing gift cards and stuff like that. And it's also, like, she's just at that age where she doesn't understand, like, this person is where they are, because of certain factors. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to her, all it is someone that just needs help,
Help, yeah.
And to kind of see her process that it, again, I think it's why this resonates with me so much. So,
yeah, like I said, I'm biased from her perspective.
Yeah, it's just like that. That's not how life should be. You know what I mean? Like, I have parents. I have a home. Like, everyone should have that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
So again, sorry to interrupt, but it's just, you know, going through it, I'm just like, oh, this is going to be a rough one. So,
yeah, not good for the kids and the parents. Now, on this Halloween night, Lisa went to Gerald Turner's house. The pair weren't strangers, as she had been around his house before. See, Turner used to rent the other side of Lisa French's family duplex. She felt comfortable when he asked her to come inside while he grabbed candy. Gerald Turner was 25 years old and lived with his girlfriend, Arlene Penn. Penn and Turner had an infant child together. Now, that night, Lisa came into the Turner residence while Penn was away. Gerald lured her into his bedroom where he sexually assaulted the young 9-year-old girl. At that time, Lisa stopped breathing. Turner tried to revive her lifeless body, but was interrupted when his girlfriend arrived home. Arlene Penn arrived home just shortly after Lisa was attacked. Gerald told Penn that he did not feel well and reportedly frequented the bathroom several times. Arlene didn't seem too concerned. Gerald was in his house robe and continued to go to the bathroom. Now, what Arlene did not know was that in the adjacent room lay the lifeless body of 9-year-old Lisa French. Lisa's parents grew worried when their daughter did not show up at her 9 p.m. curfew. They notified the police and a 4-day countywide search would ensue. There were over 5,000 volunteers, including the National Guard and French's Girl Scout troop, out looking for the missing girl. Sadly, a heartbreaking discovery would be made on November 3, 1973. Gerald Braun, a local farmer, was working on his land in Saychita, Wisconsin, when he noticed something odd. 2 brown plastic bags sitting near a barbed wire fence. When Braun investigated, he found that one bag contained a naked corpse, and in the other was a Halloween costume. Detectives were quickly notified, and the body would later be identified as young 9-year-old Lisa French. An autopsy would prove that she had died from asphyxiation. There was also evidence of sexual trauma as well. Now, the small town of Fond du Lac was in shock. They posted a $10,000 reward for anyone who knew about the murder of Lisa French. Police knew they quickly needed to find the attacker, and it wasn't long until Gerald Turner landed on their radar.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
He was a neighbor who police felt might be hiding something. Turner underwent a polygraph test, which was inconclusive. When police were able to collect a DNA sample from Turner, they weren't surprised. He was a positive match to the DNA found on French's exam. But in August 1974, Gerald Turner Jr. would confess to the rape and murder of Lisa French. He told police that he was strategic in disposing of the body, stating that to not leave fingerprints behind, he wore 2 socks on his hands while disposing of the young girl's remains. Turner told police that he wiped down the zipper of her parka and shoes. He said that he saw French in the doorway that night on Halloween and he became highly sexually motivated. That's when he said he led her inside and into his bedroom. Turner told detectives that he undressed the young girl and performed anal intercourse. That's when he said he noticed she stopped breathing and started CPR. Turner said during that time his girlfriend Penn arrived home. He went out to distract her, telling her the false story of stomach issues. After Penn left, Turner returned to find the deceased body of Lisa. That's when he put her into the bags and drove outside of town to dump her body on Braun's property. Gerald Turner was arrested on August 9, 1974. And on February 4, 1975, he was convicted of second-degree murder, enticing a child for immoral purposes, and acts of sexual perversion. He was sentenced to 38 years and 6 months. But in October of 1992, Gerald Turner was issued parole for good behavior after serving 17 years and 8 months. The French family was shocked, and they continued to fight for justice. That year, the community protested and prompted lawmakers to create a new law, Turner's Law, which in Wisconsin allows criminals who have been paroled to be detained in mental institutions if they are deemed to have a substantial probability of committing another crime. Now, because of this, Turner returned to prison in November of 1993. But in January 1998, Turner had another parole hearing that ruled he was not a violent sexual predator. This meant that he could not be kept under the new Turner law, and he was released again. However, it would be short-lived. In July of 1998, Turner yelled and threatened his caseworker with a butcher knife during a meeting. He was immediately ruled a dangerous individual and was incarcerated again. Now, multiple hearings have taken place since his arrest in 1975. But in February of 2022, just before the 47th anniversary of Lisa French's death, he was set to try his luck in court. Luckily, the judge would deny his release. He would ultimately rule that Turner resides in a high-security mental health facility, and that's where he's at to this day. An undated letter had surfaced from Turner detailing the events of that night. And in the letter, he said, "I doubt that I could ever fully realize the terror you experienced at my hands. I can still see you standing in the doorway with that felt hat beaming at having recognized me. Then I see the delight in your eyes turn to fear as I close the door behind you. The rest of my life, I will have to live with what I did to you. On that night, I became a monster. I do swear to you, on the fortitude of my life, I will never harm another child." So that's this week's case, John. That's the murder of poor little Lisa French on Halloween.
Man, this one, oh my God, it's like heartbreaking to go through. It's, I don't know, man. Like, I definitely don't believe what he's saying in his letter, where he would never harm another child again. I mean, like, this guy is legit human monster. How you could answer the door on Halloween and see this sweet kid there just to, you know, trick or treat, and knowing that, like, she trusts you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think there is a certain, I'm not a super religious person. I don't know if it's hell or what, but there is a certain place that I'm pretty sure, you know, someone like this goes in the afterlife. You know, like, I don't know. It just feels like, I don't know. It feels like the universe has to do something at some point to be like, you don't do something like this without paying a price for it. You know what I mean? So
it's just a devastating story all around. You know, I feel like I can see being that little 9-year-old girl walking around my neighborhood trick-or-treating and just being like, oh, that's neighbor Gerald that lives next door. You know, wouldn't think twice about it because there was obviously no sense of feeling unsafe or fearful of that neighbor. And then just to know, like, oh yeah, he just said to come in because he's going to find candy. I mean, that's not an uncommon thing, especially back in the 70s. So I just feel bad for the family. I feel bad for the little girl. I would like to believe what he said in his letter, but I don't feel like it's very truthful. And I hope that he gets the rehabilitation mentally that he needs to make him a better person, I guess. But I don't know that once you do that to a child, if there's any coming back from that. I don't know. These cases are always hard when it involves a child, but
honestly, in a case like this, I don't think there is any rehabilitation. I would be surprised, especially with the time, if he had not done something like this before. And I definitely think he would have continued to do something this if he wouldn't have been caught. I don't buy the, you know, I'll never hurt anybody ever again. Like, you've already proven that you're violent. And I don't think this is something that this kind of crime, I don't know how easy it is to be like, I'm rehabilitated, you know? Right. I do think it's interesting though, because, you know, as we were talking about one thing, well, there was two things that kind of stuck out in my head. Like, first, all I could think about was Lisa's family continually over the years having to go to these hearings and like argue that this person should not be released for what
he should never even been eligible.
Yeah, never. And so to know that they've had to go to these multiple court hearings and then see him like be released and have to know that he's out there on the street and then, you know, get put back in only to go through it again is absolutely like devastating. And I can't imagine the like physical and emotional toll that would have to impact, you know, they're on that family. It would just be, I don't know. I'm having a hard time talking because it, like I said, this one has just kind of got me twisted up a little bit. But the other thing I thought was super interesting is I was kind of looking some stuff up as you were going through the story. And I don't know if you saw any of this in your research or not, but this town until this day is still impacted by this. So Fond du Lac police require up until now that trick-or-treating be done on the weekend and during the daylight from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. So now over 45 years later,
you can't trick-or-treat at 9.
Yeah. And I think it's also just like, you know, just a sign of the times as well. Like being a dad, there's no way I could be like, yeah, my 9-year-old, like go out, trick-or-treat by yourself. You know what I mean? And that's not me throwing shade at the parents.
It's
like,
just the time now. It's the time. We as kids went around once we got a little older, basically by ourselves. Like,
yeah. You know what I know? Like, you know, my parents have told me stories where it was just like, yeah, you know, you were 9, 10. You just
went out the neighborhood.
I mean, even when I was a kid, like my parents always went trick-or-treating with us up till a certain age, but like just playing outside, you know what I mean? Like we were gone all of the time. So, you know, and I feel like now that's just something where like that doesn't happen, right? Like we've kind of caught up as a society and been like, you know, maybe there should be some
dangerous.
Yeah. Let's make sure we know where our kids are, you know?
But so you know how sometimes I have to fact check my memories? I've told you about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like last year on Halloween, in one of our episodes, I was talking about how my grandma used to make these popcorn balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't my grandma. It was the neighbor next door to my grandma.
Oh, okay.
I was telling my mom, remember grandma used to make these popcorn balls? She's like, no. So I have one of those mixed memories of my childhood that I'm like, well, I have to like fact check my memories now because I don't know. In my mind, that's what we did. We made...
It's weird because like I just got a phone call from my sister the other day and she was like, hey, I'm here. She was with, I have two sisters. They were together. And the older one was like, hey, do you remember, you know, dad built us a fort in the backyard. It was like a nice fort. It was on like stilts and there was a ladder to climb into it. It was, you know, and I was like, yeah, of course I remember that. My sister had no memory, my youngest sister. And so my sister called just be like, hey, I'm not making this up, right? Like, I very clearly remember this and I want to make sure I'm not crazy. And I'm like, no, you're right. But it's, you know, at a certain age, when you think back, it's like, you know, you remember things one way and you talk to your parents. You're like, that's not how it happened at all. Yeah, no. You know, like,
she's like, nope, that was the neighbor. Oh, got it.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I feel so bad for Lisa's family and to know that like, this sweet, just thinking about what she could have accomplished and like who she could have been and just how shitty it is that that was all stolen from her. Mm-hmm. It's just heartbreaking, man. And, you know, like even with him being locked up forever, there's still like there's no win in the situation. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean,
it's hard.
Lisa was born a year after my mom, my dad, like. She would be like a grandmother and, you know, like old enough to be our parent.
Yeah. Yeah. She'd be very close to like my mom's age. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're talking deadbolt, I think I know where you're going to be, but.
Dude, 10, 10 all day, man. As a dad, like this would wreck me. Just like destroy my world. Walls would, you know, shatter, cave in. It would be the end of my existence. This is absolutely like. This is heartbreaking for me. So this is a 10 across the board. What about you?
I'm going to put it at a 10 too. A 10 also.
I can't believe sometimes like, you know, again, I know it's all like, I tell myself all times like statistical, right? You know what I mean? Like we talk about this stuff a lot. That's why you think about it a lot, some of that, but right. To just know that there are people like that and that this guy is still alive somewhere, you know, like, how is that fair? You know, it's been almost 50 years and this guy's, if not more than that, right? So
he's got to be an old man. Cause he was 25.
Yeah. So the article that I was looking at, it had been 45 years and this article came out in 2018. So we're now, you know, 6 years later. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, you know, it's been 51 years since this happened. And this guy's just, you know, in a hospital somewhere. And I don't know. It's just not fair, dude. And it's hard, but Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia and I are both coming in at 10s, but as always, we got to throw it out to the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Lisa French fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get the opportunity to spend some time with you. We got some cool Halloween coloring pages up there. You can download those, do some coloring. Maybe woo-saw your mind out after listening to this episode. So if you'd like to join the Facebook group, there is a link in the description of the episode you're listening to now. Come hang out with us. We'd love to have you. And Olivia, definitely need, you know, something. I don't know if it's a palate cleanser. I don't know what it is, but
trick-or-treat candy, Halloween candy.
Yeah, something that is not as sad as what we just went through. So I was wondering, did we have any reviews, voicemails, Spotify comments? What do we got for this episode?
Well, I was really hoping for a voicemail this week, but we do have a comment from Spotify from the Charlotte Strangler episode, and that comes from Rebecca. And Rebecca said, amazing two-part show and very interesting conversation. Super 10 out of 10 scary killer. So thank you, Rebecca, on Spotify for leaving us a comment.
Yes, Rebecca, thank you so much for taking the time to leave us that Spotify comment. We love to hear what you think. I definitely agree with you. The Charlotte Strangler episode, that's the two-part episode that just came out very recently. Again, not what we normally do, but because that case was kind of crazy, we thought it'd be better to split it up. But if you haven't listened to it, go back, check it out. But Rebecca, again, thank you so much for taking the time to leave that comment, letting us know what you think. We always love hearing from the listeners, from our locksmiths. And please, we'd love to send you some goodies out. Send us an email, contact@checkthelockspod.com. If you're in our Facebook group, you can reach out there as well. Or if you follow us on Instagram, Check the Locks Pod, reach out to us there as well. Either way, smoke signal, however you want to do it, feel free to reach out. We'd love to get you some stuff. So thank you again so, so much. The reviews, the Spotify comments, they help us so much. They get us in front of other listeners and help us to grow the show. So it really does mean quite a lot that you took the time to do that. And Olivia, if somebody would like to have their review read on the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll all the way down where you see the 5 stars, click all 5 stars, and tell us what you think about Check the Locks. But I feel like there's other ways now that I'm like behind on the times. You know, we have a phone number, we have Spotify, so I'll let you fill them in on that.
Oh, yeah. So again, Olivia says it best, so I don't have to. Apple Podcasts, always a great way to do it if you are an Apple user, right? Those, like I said, those reviews help us so much. But if you listen on Spotify, right, you can leave us a comment there. Additionally, you can send us an email at contact@checkthelockspod.com. We would love to hear from you there as well. And as Olivia stated, it is her favorite thing. We also have a phone number that you can call here in the States and leave us a voicemail. So if you would like to give us a ring, let us know what you think. Give us a call at 615-920-9393. Again, that is 615-920-9393. We are just waiting for these voicemails to come in. Olivia, again, I know they're your favorite, so I'm sure you would love to have some.
I would love to hear a voicemail. It's been a while since I've heard any of our listeners' voices, and that's like my favorite thing. It's like having a conversation with our listeners.
It is really cool too, because you get to, you know, hear the voice, right? It just adds like an extra layer. So all that to say, we would love to hear from you. So again, if you're in the States, give us a call, 615-920-9393. And if you're listening outside the country, no worries. You can still leave us a voicemail. Just go to checkthelockspod.com. Click the little voicemail icon on the homepage. You can leave us a voicemail right from the website. We'd love to hear that as well. So if you know you can't call that number, don't want anybody having any crazy long distance charges, just leave us a voicemail. We do have those other ways. Again, you can also email too. So either way, smoke signals, telegrams, however you want to do it, we would love to hear from you. And as always, if you love what we do here, you want to help support the podcast, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks to get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, coffee mugs, stickers, all sorts of stuff you can only get for being a patron. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, help us keep the lights on, you know, podcasting ain't free. You can do that at patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, sharing what we do with your friends, family, the people who are important to you means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're sending out those links or telling people to listen, just know that we appreciate you so much. Again, that's how we grow, right? Get in front of new listeners. It is that grassroots, people just telling their friends about it. So if that's what you're doing, letting people know to listen, just know we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.